Each day has its own troubles, but each day also has its own mercies. Each day has its own troubles, but each day also has its own mercies. The first passage I want to go to, we're going to be in two passages today. The first passage I want to direct us to is Matthew 6, 34. It's going to be on the screen behind me. In this passage, it comes at the end, this verse comes at the end of a larger section when Jesus is talking about why you shouldn't worry, why you shouldn't be anxious in this life. And verse 34 ends with him saying this, "Therefore, in light of everything I've just said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." All right, what Jesus is saying there, he's not saying that there isn't trouble waiting for you tomorrow. He's saying the opposite. He's simply saying that there is going to be trouble tomorrow, but today has its own troubles. You'll be plenty occupied with the troubles of today, so don't worry about tomorrow. Mary already broke the news of 4:40, the game coming up today. And this past week, I watched a press conference with Nick Foles. And every time he seems to get on the behind the stage and speak, I love the man more and more. You fall in love with his passion and his conviction. And this is what he said last week during a press conference when someone asked him this question. The question was asked, "Nick, you always talk about staying in the moment. What does that mean? What do you mean by that?" And perhaps you watched it. This is some of the way that Nick responded. He said, "Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It says that we shouldn't worry about tomorrow because it has its own trouble. There's times that I get overwhelmed by thinking about all that's ahead. There's some days where I feel good about it and some days where I don't feel so good about it. But I have to tell myself to give everything I can today and live when tomorrow comes." I think Jay Urbinu, probably one of us have said it before, but the moment Nick Foles wants to be a pastor here, we will give our resignation letters in and we will happily, happily be pastored by this amazing man. But Pastor Nick is exactly right, right? He's exactly right because Jesus here in Matthew 6, the passage that he quoted in this press conference is telling us that you're going to overwhelm yourself. You're going to destroy and wreck yourself, your mind, your soul, your body. You are going to overwhelm yourself worrying about tomorrow when it's not even here. Setting your minds 24 hours from now before you are even there. You're not living today, you're living tomorrow today. And Jesus is telling you, this is not going to go well for you, right? Jesus is saying, you may be strong, you may be confident today, but how long will it be until you're not so confident or strong or able to handle tomorrow's worries? How long before tomorrow will come and you fall and you are growing weary? Jesus is saying that, listen, there is trouble for today, there's trouble for each day of your life. You're going to have trouble in this life. That's a reality of this life. There will be trouble today. There will be trouble tomorrow. And hear this, the God who directs all things, the God who actually sets the stars in motion, the God who sets your life and gives you oxygen to breathe, the one who is sovereign over all things, the God who loves you, even this God actually allows and appoints a specific amount of trouble for each day in your life. He is the God over all things. He allows for trouble even in your life. A specific measure of trouble that happens daily for us. Not the trouble or pain you experienced yesterday, not the trouble you will experience tomorrow, but a specific amount of trouble that we will experience today. Today has its own troubles. But in the very same way that there is trouble for today, trouble for tomorrow, God has also perfectly appointed a specific measure of mercy to sustain us through each day's troubles. It's true that we have troubles for every single day of our lives, but in the same way, it is true that God has set forth a specific measure of mercy for those troubles that we might be sustained in them. That's what it says in our second passage in Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. What does it say there? It says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hear that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So yes, there is certainly trouble for each day that will come. There will be trouble. But just as surely as we can expect that there is a specific mercy that is new for each day to allow you to walk through it, to get by it, to be sustained in it. And these are two truths that we've got to hold together in our lives as we live, especially as we look back on this past year, as we look ahead in this coming year. There are many troubles that will come every single day, but our loving God provides the mercy to be carried through every single day. We've got to hold these things together, because if we don't, here's what will happen. If we don't understand that there will be trouble each day, but also mercy each day, here's what will happen. When we see trouble coming tomorrow, when we look perhaps on Monday or Tuesday or next week or next month or someday this year, as we look forward and we can see the trouble coming, we will want to be adequate to handle that trouble today. We will want to be ready to handle that trouble, to feel good about that trouble, to have tomorrow's mercy be felt today. And our minds will start to race and grow anxious and distressed, because the mercy that we will endure tomorrow and experience tomorrow is for tomorrow. It's not for today. And we will overwhelm ourselves thinking about how we will handle it tomorrow when tomorrow has not even come. And so in Lamentations, what God is wanting to tell us is that we will want that mercy that God has appointed for tomorrow's trouble today. And when we do that, we are not living the way that he intends for us to live within the troubles of the day, within the mercies of a day. In every single moment of your life, God gives you the mercy for it. In every single trouble of your life, in every single moment of your life, God gives you the mercy for it. You and I know what it's like to worry about what's coming, right? We're not short of worry in this room. I worried about my sermon this morning. You probably worried about getting here on time. There's worries of all kinds. You probably worry in ways that you're not even realizing. Your body reacts to the worry that you have. We know what it's like to worry. We ask, will this illness be gone a year from now? Well, I don't know, but I can tell you that there is mercy if it doesn't. We ask, will I find the spouse I so desire, or have the children that I have prayed for so long? I don't know, but you can know that there is mercy for it. We may ask, will my son or daughter ever know and trust in Jesus? Where will I live? What will I be doing? Will I get out of the financial hardship that I am in right now? Will I have enough resource? What will happen with my struggling marriage? Will I succeed at this endeavor I'm undertaking, or will I fail? Will I be ready for tomorrow? Will I be adequate for it, wise for it? Will my faith in God be held up, or will I falter during these troubles? The mercy that God gives us will never cease. They will never cease. It will never run out. Hear me, you will never be left without the mercy of God for each day's troubles. It will never run out. It's everlasting, and it's specific for each day. So this morning, I want to encourage you this morning that there is a difference between believing this way and living in this way. There actually is a difference. When you believe, I have sufficient mercy for today, that God sustains me no matter what may come tomorrow, it actually makes a difference in how you live each day, in each moment, in each breath that you take. It actually makes a difference. You need not wonder when you believe this about the worry that will come up this upcoming year or month or week or tomorrow. Believe instead on the basis of God's eternal word today that each passing day, each new morning, with every sunrise, with every sunset, and every moment in between, there will be an appointed mercy for you from God that will see you through. It will be there for you. It will be there for you. You may feel inadequate for this year's challenges as you look ahead at all that's coming. You may feel unwise for it, unfit for it. You may feel unprepared for the troubles, the uncertainties of this life, and that's okay. That's fine. God gives you rest there. He allows you to feel that and the uncertainty and the worry. But learn this invaluable promise that you will be adequate because his mercy will be with you on each one of those days. God will make you adequate. God will see you through because his mercy will be with you each one of those days. And how can we be sure of this? How can we actually bank our lives on this and trust that God's mercy will be with us for every single one of these days' troubles? Well, because God has shown us the ultimate mercy. He has shown us the ultimate mercy for our entire lives, for all of our sins, through the cross of Jesus Christ. If he can do that, will he not see to it that mercy will be given to you each and every single breath of your life, each day, each hour, each minute, each second? Will the God who's given his own son for us not give you mercy to be sustained? So in light of that, let's pray, asking God to help us as we reflect and as we look forward, that God's mercy might meet us here, even in this moment today. Let me pray for us. Our Father, give us even the mercy of faith in this moment, on this day, to believe that we will have mercy for tomorrow, that your mercy will sustain us throughout the troubles of each day of this year. As we reflect even on this past year, have you not sustained us? Be it through joy or pain, through faith or the lack of it, have you not been faithful, steadfast, unmoving, your mercies unceasing? Thank you, our Father, for your mercies that are never ceasing, that are new every morning. We thank you, our Father. And so we pray even now for our dear brothers and sisters. Give them mercy in these moments to share their stories as they seek to build us up and to glorify you. Be with them, uphold them, encourage them. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This year has been like watching some of the Eagles football games. Not just because they're in the playoffs right now. Everything seems to be going smoothly and the game seems to be in control, and then bam, the game falls apart and they are fighting for the victory. Last Christmas, we brought Tobias home and we were just starting to get into some kind of rhythm and roll with him. And then in February, around Valentine's Day, Peggy Sue's mom passes away quite suddenly. We begin the road to recovery and getting things under control once again. And then in June, her father passes away. Then just over a month later, a pipe breaks in our house underneath our living room. We spend about 3 weeks in different hotels because we basically have no kitchen and our living room floor is dug up. Every time we take a step forward to get the pipe fixed, something else goes wrong. They tear up the rug and there's like, oh, this house is like really old and those tiles might be asbestos. We can't do anything with it until you get it tested. Once we remove the tile, we find out that we have a sunken living room. In some houses, that's really good. Not when it's supposed to be flat. Kind of explains why everything was kind of going towards the center of each room. We remove the tiles and et cetera, et cetera. $20,000 later and 3 months later, everything is fixed except for our finances. It just seems like when things started to get settled down, something else occurs. And after the journey of the last couple of years, which many of you have heard about and shared, we've shared with my house situation, with my parents, with Tobias, finding a new house, this roller coaster has just been like really exhausting. It was kind of hard to really focus on Christmas this year as you're just tired and worn out. But the one glimmer of hope, the one good thing about this is the spiritual journey of living with Tobias. Kids have a way of challenging your life, which some of you may know that, and giving you some unique challenges and perspectives. I could probably give a sermon or two or three or more on this, but not today, so you guys can breathe. In June, Ajay had asked me how life was with Tobias. I said, awesome. And he gave me a look like I was crazy. A look that I know quite well over the last 8-9 years. Ajay said that he thought my answer would be more along the lines of overwhelming. And I said, well, there is that too. And that's before some of the other disasters that happened in our lives. For those of you who may not have noticed, Tobias is a little energetic at times. Just a little. But what he brought to our household and to me is a glimpse into God's love for us as his children. There are those moments when he keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again when we say, don't do this. And he just keeps doing it and doing it. And in that moment of frustration, I call out to God. It's like, why does he keep doing this? We tell him no, and he keeps doing this. And then God, I kind of hear this cosmic snicker in the background, says, okay, I will answer that question when you answer my question. Why do you keep doing this when I tell you not to do this? Answer me that, and I'll give you my answer. Yeah, thanks, God. That's real helpful. But the deepest lesson that I've learned from this process of adopting Tobias is getting that glimpse of God's love in adopting us. When we got involved with Tobias, we knew that he had challenges. We knew that there were emotional issues and stuff that we had no clue what we were getting ourselves into. But we decided to get involved anyway to love him and make him part of our family. We did this not knowing his whole story, all the issues that he had, and what issues he would have coming down the road. So we don't know what lies in his future, what the emotional issues will surface down the road. But God knows our hopes and our dreams and our failures. God knows how we will fail him and disappoint him and rebel against him. We know this. God knows this. Peggy Sue and I don't know that with Tobias. But yet, God loved us so much that he became one of us. He came to die for us, and he came back to live for us. And that's part of our prayers with Tobias each night. God knows all of the bad things we will end up doing. But he adopted us into his family anyway. During this past year, I read a book about adoption. This pastor in Colorado and his journey with his son through adoption, who had a whole lot worse issues than Tobias. But his judge told him at the adoption hearing, he is no longer your foster child. He will not be your adopted son. He will be your son, period. No adjectives before that, just he will be your son. And this is what God has done for us. We are not God's foster kids. We are not his adopted children. We are his sons and his daughters, with all the rights and privileges of that is. As we've heard today, that means that God is faithful to us, will never abandon us, and will never leave us alone. So as we continue on this journey, Peggy Sue and I ask that you continue your prayers for us, as you've done so many times over the last few years. You've walked us through our lives, and we're asking you to continue that. So pray for us that we be more like our God and Savior and the Spirit, because Tobias is looking at us each and every day to be more like us. Pray for Tobias because he's gone through a lot in his young life. There are things stirring in his heart and soul and emotions that he doesn't understand and that we certainly don't understand. Pray for our family spiritually so that we would remember that God has a plan for us, that he has everything under control, even when it doesn't seem like he does. And chaos is reigning, but God is there. God is our Father. And pray for us as we work through our financial recovery from this summer. So once again, thank you for everything and being there for us through this year and through the upcoming years. and we are grateful for you guys. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Frank O'Brien, and this is my wife, Melissa. We were asked to share a little bit about 2018, I think, looking at what we're grateful for, what God has done in our lives. But I think to understand that, we need to look back a little bit about ourselves and our journey.
You want to just read it?
Sure.
Me read it?
No, I'll read it.
Okay.
So, you want to read it? So I wrote this a couple years ago, and probably the worst, one of the best times in my journey in life. But there was a lot of baggage that went with that. I was raised going to Catholic school, learning from God, learning about God in a way that made me feel unimportant and meaningless. As I made my way through young adulthood, joining the military, I experienced I was hardened by the thoughts that I didn't add up and deserve the Lord. As a young adult, I entered the military and became even more hardened. Experiences in that area still we talk about today. I took the attitude of that I could take control of my life and those around me. This was a path of destruction. I finally reached my destiny of demise one evening.
Like, you really do want me to read it?
Probably, we got to keep it in 5 minutes, so.
Okay.
Okay.
I could just go with this, and it pulls that in.
That's fine.
Okay. So you got a little bit of introduction of Frank. When I was a girl, I prayed to ask Jesus into my heart and to save me from my sins. But in my young mind, that was pretty much my ticket to heaven. And I thought that that was all I needed. And then from there, I just lived the way that I wanted to. And I figured that it was Jesus's job to forgive me. As an adult, married with children, my life was a mess. And I was miserable because I was living for myself. See, I had had this idea that once I was married, that we would live happily ever after. And it didn't work out that way. So, anyway, one night I was reading the Old Testament stories to my kids. And I would read to my kids for hours just so that I could avoid interacting with him. And as I read, I was reading about Israel. And I got so angry with them because one moment they'd be following after God and they would receive God's blessing in their life. And then the next moment they would turn around to the idols around them and the blessing was gone. And God would keep trying to get their attention and to turn their heads back to him. And as I'm really getting angry at Israel, it was like a light bulb went off in my head where God was saying, "But Melissa, that's you. You know, you follow me and there's blessing, and you, when you want to live your life on your own, there is no blessing in that." So it was that night as I lay on the floor of my children's bedroom that my whole life was changed because I was done. I was like, "Jesus, I'm done. I can't live my life the way that I'm living anymore. I want to be what you made me to be. I want to be the woman that you made me to be, the wife, the mom, and whatever that means. I just want to be yours. More than anything, Lord, I know I need you to forgive me, but I just need you to be my Lord. I don't want to run away anymore." So that was 16 years ago. And from then, I started to pray for Frank. And I think at first, my prayers were along the lines of, like, "Lord, please save him so that he can be nicer." Which is...
It was a lot of prayers, trust me.
You know, and it's not really not a bad prayer, but it's just, it's a little bit off the mark. I don't know that that's really what God's intention is. So eventually, that prayer became, Lord, please save him, because that's what you want. You came to save the lost. You died for those who are lost. And then, over years, that prayer turned into, Lord, take him or take me, because I can't keep living like this. And at very, very least, you need to let me know that it's okay to leave. So there's kids in the room, so I would say that time, there came a time where the manure hit the fan, and God knew, and he told me very clearly that it was okay to leave. And that's what he did. The kids and I went to stay at my parents' house, and the Lord was a step ahead of me and prepared room for us, because my sister and her family were there also. But then during that time, there was no communication between Frank and I. And eventually I could start seeing little things on social media. He would put Bible verses up. And at first, I was mad that I'm seeing him put verses up, because now I'm going like, Lord, he's playing a game and he is learning how to talk my talk, right? And this is just a different avenue that he's taking here. But eventually I had a friend who encouraged me to pray like Gideon prayed, to put out a fleece and say, Lord, is this really you working in his life, or is this just a show? And so I put out a fleece, and I prayed for something that Frank would never do on his own, unless it was the Lord working within him. And within a week, that fleece was answered, and it was that God was working in his life. I'm like, God, that is way too fast. That was a week. So Gideon put out two fleeces. I'm putting out another fleece.
And the third and the fourth.
No, it was just two. There were two. So I put out a second fleece, and within a week, that was answered also, that God was working in his life. And I had a choice to make, because I could stay away and no one would ever blame me. I had a support system. I had everything that I needed. Or I could trust God that he was really working in my husband's life and I could go back. So I went back, and that was almost 4 years ago. And for the last 4 years, I've had a front row seat to watching a miracle happen. Because the man standing with me today is not the same man that he was. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. So I am so grateful for the new life that Jesus has given to me, to my husband, and therefore our marriage. I pray for our kids to also know this new life and to have Jesus as Lord and the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. I pray it for them. I pray it for you, and I pray it for the people that we meet. God can change hearts. Philippians 1:6 says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. As the Lord's been working in our lives, Frank and I both feel the need for discipleship, ongoing counseling, and a community to grow in. We need people who can really know us and then to speak truth into our lives. We need them to encourage us, and we also need to be able to have people that we can walk beside and to do the same for them. In 2018, we became members at 7 Mile Road. The 7 Mile Road has been a sanctuary of broken people who are being made whole, and they're being made new again through Jesus Christ. So the community, especially our Willow Grove GCM, has been such an encouragement to us. We see in the joy and the sorrow a very deep dependence on our Savior. Each day seems to bring something new, and we never know what it's going to be. But we do know that our Lord is good. He has given us his Holy Spirit, and he has given us each other. And we are very grateful for where the Lord has brought us through 2018, and we are trusting him for 2019. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good morning, church. My name is Justin. This is my wife, Arena. 2018 was a whirlwind of a year for us. As we felt the call to step into church planting, we were completely lost on how to actually do that. We had many questions and doubts, anxiety about how everything would work out. How was this going to affect our children? How would we train and be ready to plant? Are we doing this alone, or who are we working with? There was also the worry about Rena's progressing health concerns. There were so many questions, no answers, and a growing anxiety in our hearts. Thankfully, our great God did not leave us alone, but through each question and worry, he provided his loving mercy. We just want to highlight two worries and how God provided his loving mercy to our family in 2018.
About 15 years ago, the meaning of the word normal changed for me. I went from being a carefree young college student who was just starting pharmacy school to slowly having symptoms of numbness and pain. I first realized that something was wrong when I touched a hot Bunsen burner in chemistry class and not feeling the pain from the burn. It was in the spring of 2003 that I was diagnosed with the rare neurological condition that would stay with me for the rest of my life. My new normal became waking up and going to bed in pain and constantly being fatigued, even though I had surgery to prevent my condition from worsening so quickly. Despite this, I was able to finish pharmacy school, marry my best friend, and have two beautiful children, all by God's grace alone. I was able to work the last 11 years managing a retail pharmacy and building relationships with the patients in South Jersey, where we live. My job also required me to work long shifts and work every other weekend, which has kept me from spending valuable time with my family and at church, and was very unhealthy for my condition. I've always wanted to go part-time, but was hesitant mainly because of not having that cushion of the extra income to fall on and what it would mean for my career in the long term. This past year, as we felt the Lord calling Justin church plant, we knew that things had to change. I needed physical rest, wanted to spend more time with the kids, and be able to serve at church. We cried out to God for direction and provision and asked our family and friends to also keep us in prayer. He answered, and just in 3 months, my boss worked with me to fill my position, which then allowed me to work just 2 days a week doing what I love. I started working part-time in September, and it has been one of the biggest blessings for my family and my health. I know that my health will always be a struggle for me, and just like Paul, I pleaded with the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away. But even if he chooses not to heal me, I know that his grace is always sufficient for me. I know that there are many who look like me. We look normal on the outside, but have a thorn that we deal with, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. And I want you to know that the Lord sees your struggle, mental, and he will always provide for your needs and always give you the grace you need to endure. We doubted and worried for so long, yet in his time, God was merciful in provision. I love that last week's message was about suffering, and I want to just read one of the verses Pastor Sibby used in his message, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
From February to August of this past year, I participated in the Advanced National Cohort. The Advanced Cohort is a group of 5 to 6 Indian American men who are exploring and wrestling the call to plant gospel-centered churches. Before the cohort started, I thought I was going to plant a church alone by myself. But during my time in the cohort, God made it extremely clear that I needed to take the time to be trained and sent by a local church. We knew that that was not going to happen in the local church where I served for the last 10 years, which was not an easy pill to swallow. I worried much that there wasn't a church that would want to work with me. I had such self-doubt, and I put myself down constantly. I convinced myself that Since I did not have a seminary degree and I was not a full-time pastor for years, that most churches would not accept me into a residency program. I was ready to believe this was not going to happen, that this was just a pipe dream. I had self-induced anxiety, worry for no reason. And then God showed me much mercy. One Sunday in April, after an advanced cohort weekend, Rena and I attended church here at 7 Mile Road. After worship, Pastor Binu walks over with that big smile that he always has, and he proceeds to ask us if we would consider doing a church planting residency here at 7 Mile Road. Pastor Binu even said things like, "I'm not trying to recruit you." And I was thinking, who would want to recruit me? Pastor Binu was so gracious and asked that we pray about it for a few months. I remember walking back to my car and tears rolling down my face. Rena was laughing, like, "Why are you crying, big baby?" But you have to understand how much I believe the lie that no one would work with me, especially three pastors that I hold in such high esteem. See, Rena almost expected Binu to ask because she always believed that God was calling me. That was an emotional event for me. It felt like God gave me this huge hug. And he said, "Listen, I'm here, I'm not leaving you, and I have a plan. Like the 76ers, trust the process." In my worry and anxiety, God showed such gracious mercy. We are so thankful for everything we went through in 2018, but most of all, church, we are so thankful that God brought us here to 7 Mile Road. I want to end with a verse that has been a source of encouragement to Rena and I, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. It reads, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm going to read that last part again. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Church, let's cling to this promise, this beautiful promise in 2019. Amen.
What's up? My name's Amit. I'm just going to read it. If I don't look at you, don't worry about it. My name is Amit, and I want to share you how I became a Christian, but especially what this past year has been like for me. During my childhood growing up, I wasn't religious whatsoever. I was born into a Hindu family and had to practice the religion simply because my parents expected me to. I guess you can say that I was agnostic for most of my life. Being an only child, I dealt with a lot of loneliness. I didn't really have any friends. I felt out of place at school, and during my senior year of high school, I began to struggle with depression. In college, a couple of people told me about Jesus, but I just blew them off. One day, while I was still in a state of depression, someone invited me to this Christian club and tells me to hang out with them. I recognized a friend I knew, so I stayed there for the free pizza every time they met. These people were so nice and so loving. They would ask me if they could pray for me. I thought it was cool that they showed me this much love. Eventually, this one girl at the club was telling me stuff about the church and Christianity. And finally, during the winter break in the beginning of 2004, I decided to accept Christ into my life, and I became a Christian. But even after I became to believe in Jesus, I still struggled with depression. And just 6 months into becoming a Christian, I attempted suicide through my depression meds. I survived. After coming out of that incident, I began to realize that God has a plan and purpose for my life. And ever since that time, I had never thought about suicide again. As I look back during those years, it's amazing how God has been pursuing me and saving me when I was thinking about my sin weaknesses. It's so amazing that Jesus can still forgive me and love me. There should have been times where my sin could have landed me in jail or even death, but God was merciful and he was loving towards me. 2018 was a really challenging year for me because of circumstances at my work that I couldn't understand. I began to build up a lot of anger. I felt like I was on a war path with both my coworkers and management. I dealt with a lot of hatred towards them. And if I were to be honest, even racism. There were a few coworkers who kept me sane, who pushed me to keep moving forward. I actually accepted a higher position at the company, something that is difficult for me to do because I never stepped out of my comfort zone because I'm afraid of failure. But the new position didn't even last a month because it was hard for me to accept. It was difficult. During these months, I really felt like there was no hope in Jesus, so I distanced myself from God. This led me into a lot of sin, and God was just an afterthought because I had so much anger towards him. So instead of running to God for joy, I was trying to find joy with horrible, horrible sins. I took risks with my sins, but I didn't even care. I began living a double life, sinning without any thought of God, but then coming to church on Sundays. But God, who pursued me in all these years, he rescued me again in October from this path of destruction that I was on. God won back my heart. Even despite my evil ways, Jesus never let me go. And so I'm thankful for the grace, forgiveness, and mercy that God shows to me every day. I hope to hold on to the promises that God has for me in my life going into 2019.
As our dear brothers and sisters have reflected on this past year, and as we reflect on our own, let's look up to God in light of this past year as I read from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Let's pray. Our Lord, we look to you again for our help and for mercy, mercy that is promised to us. We pray, O Lord, in throughout the course of our lives this past year and all that lies ahead of this journey, this small temporary journey on this earth, that we would look to you and not to just our circumstances. We pray that we would find hope in Jesus Christ, who has not only died for our sins and is buried for our sins, but he has resurrected from the grave. And he has secured for us salvation, but more than that, even eternity with him, where all things will be made right and we can find joy and eternal rest and bliss with our God. And so we pray, O Lord, that we might, in the midst of lives that are filled with trouble, find unceasing mercy, steadfast love, a faithful God who is with us to the end. We pray that we would believe this. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.